and Vocation Boom Radio moving along here on this episode. Thanks for listening. I'm Jerry Usher, your host. And as I mentioned right before the break, my first guest is Father Sean Tunick. He is the parochial vicar at Cure of Ars Parish. What a great parish for a priest to be at. Of course, anyone is great, but named after the great St. John Vianney. That is in Leawood, Kansas, and he's the chaplain of Bishop Miege High School there. Father Sean, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Jerry. Good to be with you.
Thank you. And you have been a longtime Catholic radio listener, I guess.
Oh, I have. I started to really kind of discover the faith in college, and I wasn't at a Catholic university, so the Catholic Answers website became my friend, and then very much Catholic Answers Live each evening on my drive home after I started working. So I listen to you many evenings on my way home from work.
Well, glory to God for that. And I should mention Father Sean is 35 years old. He's been a priest for 4 years in the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas. He grew up in Lansing, graduated from public schools, then went to the University of Kansas, where he graduated in 1999. And he entered University of St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary in Chicago, near Chicago, in 2003, and was ordained in 2008. He's in his second assignment. That's, again, as associate pastor and chaplain of a high school. And he's also a scout chaplain for the Archdiocese. So, Father, it is great to have you with us here. Tell us a little bit about then you mentioned listening to Catholic radio helped strengthen your faith, build that foundation. But, God must have been at work in there already, maybe planting some seeds or thoughts of a vocation. Talk about that.
Well, you know, I grew up in what I would consider a good Catholic family, but not necessarily anything out of the ordinary. We went to Mass every Sunday, and I was in the school of religion there and learned my faith pretty well growing up. But, you know, I really got that kind of intellectual hunger and curiosity for the faith when I got to college, and which might seem a little strange since I went to a public university at the University of Kansas, which, I mean, at best is ambiguous to the faith or even hostile to it. But there was the St. Lawrence Catholic Campus Center, the Newman Center there. And, boy, I met for the first time people that could really explain the faith. And a lot of what you describe, you know, as kind of seeds of a vocation, I think were there. And a lot of people could explain things to me, and I had a lot of questions, and even ways that I maybe disagreed with the church a little bit or didn't really understand what the church taught. And I met people for the first time that could really teach me. And there's an amazing priest there, the director of the campus center, now Monsignor Vince Crisci. And there was a priest that was just inspiring. He wasn't afraid to tell people like it is. He'd always tell us, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth. That faith just shone out so beautifully through him. And I could see that I wish we had more priests like him. And I didn't necessarily know that I was going to be a priest, but I knew that that's the kind of priest that we needed. And I wanted to be a priest like that if I were going to be a priest. But it took a little time to figure things out. I kind of joke that with John Paul II being my hero, that I probably would have been a priest a lot sooner if it weren't for John Paul II, because his theology of the body is something I also discovered. And before him, I might have thought that, well, if you're going to be holy, that means you need to be a priest. If you want to be ordinary, then you get married. But John Paul really helped me to see how the married vocation is truly a path to holiness. And when I graduated from college, I really thought that's what I was going to do with my life. I wanted to go out, get married, have a huge family for God, take over the world with my small army of children, and thought I'd live it out in the world. That I really thought that was the lay mission, to take the faith out into the world. And I thought I could do that as a lay person, maybe even a way that a priest couldn't. And so I would actually kind of get upset with people when they'd see me at church and they think, you should be a priest. And I'd think, no. Yeah, lay people are called to holiness too. You shouldn't think just because somebody loves God that they should be, you know, locked up in a monastery somewhere or that they're weird. So I wanted to be a good holy lay person. But, you know, God has his ways of getting through. And the one thing that I guess kind of remained true throughout my whole story is that I always wanted to do what God wanted me to do. I really came to trust that, you know, God made me, and he knows what's going to make me happy, even better than I do. And so little by little, you know, he kept revealing himself. And by the time I'd been out working as a software engineer for 4 years, my degree's in computer science, I went to World Youth Day in Toronto, Canada, and got to meet John Paul II, my hero. And I always loved that he was telling us not to be afraid. I felt that was very true of Catholicism and the culture, that we need to not be afraid to be fully Catholic and let the light of the truth of the faith shine. And but he said in English there in that closing mass, and I'll never forget it, he was really weak, but he pounded his fist kind of on his podium, and he said, "Be not afraid." And I was so excited to hear it in English, but then I realized what he'd actually said was, if you hear God calling you to be a priest, be not afraid to say yes. And, well, there were a couple million people there, but it sure seemed like he was talking right to me.
Just one person was there, you.
Me. So when I got home, I admit I was a little mad at the Pope. He had gone and kind of sown some doubt in my surety there. And a year later, I made a pilgrimage to Italy and went to see a lot of the shrines of the Eucharistic miracles and the saints, and really prayed that the fruit of that pilgrimage would be some surety in my vocation, because I was still 50-50. I'm like, God, if you're calling me to be a priest, you know, you got to call a little bit louder. If you're calling me to be married, I'm ready. Send me my wife. I'm all set. But just wasn't happening. And at the end of that pilgrimage, some good spiritual direction, visiting the tomb of St. Padre Pio and really praying and there for his intercession, the scales tipped just enough that when I got back, that would have been in 2003, I had to say, you know what, I have just got to go to seminary and find out, because I do not want to be like the rich young man in the gospel who got a call from Jesus to follow him, and he went away sad. That verse of Scripture always stuck out with me, that he got a call from God, but he went away sad because it said he had many possessions and he couldn't say yes. I didn't want that to be me. So I said yes and sold my house and quit my job and moved to Mundelein, Illinois in the fall. And, you know, the rest is kind of history there. It was difficult, but, you know, I kept coming back. My spiritual director said, you know, if you're not called to be a priest, don't worry. God will hit you over the head with a 2x4 and make it abundantly clear. And that's kind of what I was waiting for, actually. I thought that that's what was going to happen. Somehow this was a little test from God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sean, I know that you love me now. You quit your job, and you said you'll do it my way, and so I don't actually want you to be a priest. I want you to be married, and here's your wife, and here's a better job and a bigger house. And that might have been kind of how I started out. But a couple years, and I started realizing that, you know, I'm not thinking at all about the things I'm giving up, and I kind of really like it here in a parish and working with the people of God. And all of a sudden, about, you know, 3-4 years into seminary, I'm like, I kind of hope there isn't a 2x4 coming. I think this might actually be it. And no one was more surprised than me, but very joyful and thankful that on my ordination day now, almost 4 years ago, no worries at all, just great joy and peace, knowing that I was doing what God wanted me to do.
Father, we have got a lot of competition for our vocational affections nowadays, if you will. So maybe talk about that, how, you know, young men really have a lot of challenges to finding what it is God is calling them to do.
Well, you know, one of the difficult things about especially discerning a religious vocation, if you're considering that, it probably means that you've got a relationship with God and you're at least willing to sacrifice and openness to this idea of a gift of self. And those are some pretty special guys that would be willing to do that. And so normally you're not discerning between should I do this that isn't good or this vocation that is good. Normally you're discerning through many things that in themselves are all good. So it's easy if you have to discern between bad and good, but religious vocation is a little bit harder, because I fully wanted to give my life to God in whatever vocation he called me to. You know, the idea of a priest or a religious who are called to chastity and celibacy, who voluntarily give up worldly possessions, who try to become meek and humble like Jesus and not powerful, these are hard things, and obedience especially. We want to be our own person. There's no more important value in our society than just kind of being your own individual. And the, you know, the charism of obedience flies right in the face of that, that we have to say, no, I entrust myself to someone else. So in many ways, it makes it hard to hear the call, but I think those virtues of religious life, poverty, chastity, obedience, simplicity, this is something that our society needs now more than ever. And I think that's why we see the culture even hostile to what the priesthood or religious life stands for. And, you know, that might keep some people from following, but at least in my case, I think it also attracts people who see that, yes, there's some persecution out there. It is not easy to be a priest. It's a special call, but it's a call for special people that God will equip for this mission. And it's a call to be countercultural, and that's not easy to do.
Yeah. Talk about, you know, in your own case, how, you know, you kept going. Mine calls it prayers of the feet, you know, one step, the next step, the next step, even if you don't know with certainty where it's leading you and so forth. Because, you know, I'd love to have you address the young men who are listening right now just about persevering, taking that next step and the step after that.
Well, I think that's really the key to discerning God's call. We don't see it all at the beginning. God puts one step in front of us, and it, you know, that initial step may be a huge one. Sell my house, quit my job, go move to a place I'd never lived outside of the state of Kansas before. That's a really big step, but it's one step, and you consecrate yourself to doing God's will, and you do that, and then he opens the next one. And it's easy for me to look back now and see how it all worked, but I tell you, when I went through my first year of seminary, boy, I was ready to leave. The only thing that really kept me there for that first year was what we like to call the rector's rule. At the time, our rector had the rule that no one leaves in the first year. You've got to give it a year. And one of the things, I guess, about being a, you know, someone who was out working professionally and then going to seminary, I was not going to go through all this and then just casually leave just because I was afraid or I was scared. The words of John Paul kept coming back to me, be not afraid. So I knew I was going to give it a year. But after that, I was really not sure. I had to pray about it a lot. But again, it was just knowing that I was not going to leave here until I had clarity. And so I came back. The second year was also difficult. I mean, people think you go to seminary and, you know, you're doing God's will, and so things should be good. You know, you go to seminary to follow God, and he's going to help form you. This is the reason why it's called formation. And, you know, it's not easy to allow somebody else to help make you into who God wants you to be. But that's really what you're doing. You're trusting. And one of the things that kind of kept coming back to me that gave me peace through all this was that I knew I was doing God's will, even if difficult. And sometimes being difficult, to me, is the greatest sign that we're doing the right thing. If it's easy, sometimes that's a good sign we're on the wrong path. But it was hard, and it was not, you know, peaceful and joyful the way people might think. But there was one thing that gave me peace there, and that was that I knew I was at least trying to do what God wanted me to do. And God being who he is, I had to trust that, you know, God is not going to leave me worse off. You know, he's not going to say, oh, Sean, you quit your job and sold your house and gave your life to me, and you know what? You were wrong. You know? Too bad for you. I just couldn't see God doing that. I knew that whatever happened, there was no way I was going to be worse off. So you just keep coming back. You persevere, you know, and you work with the church in this. It's not just you on your own. Your bishop, vocation directors, the faculty, they all want to help you. They're there to guide you. And the challenges along the way, I really started to see as, no, this is that pruning. This is that testing in the fire to make me strong, to be a good priest. And that's the kind of priest I always wanted to be. That's the kind of priest Monsignor Crisci all those years ago inspired in me. And I could see that the difficulties along the way were all going to be worth it. I didn't necessarily know it at the time. But as I look back now, I can say, you know, I wouldn't necessarily want to go through seminary again, but... I can see how all the stones fit together to cross the stream now, as they say.
Absolutely.
It's beautiful to see what God did.
We've got about 2 or 3 minutes left here, Father. I want to maybe in closing just look at your high-tech ministry. You're very tech-savvy here. I'm looking at your blog, Voice in the Wilderness, Preparing the Way of the Lord. And for our listeners who want to check it out, it's seanthebaptist.org. I love that. S-H-A-W-N, seanthebaptist.org, where I just discovered that we can learn about theologians like John Lennon, Paul McCartney, and people like that. I'm looking at your post for the homily, the sixth Sunday of Easter. So again, dear listeners, go to seanthebaptist.org to find Father Sean's blog. But Father, in this age we're living in, we were talking earlier about the distractions, the noise, and, a lot of that comes from our high-tech gadgets. But the flip side of that is, God has created all things, including technology. So if we're not using these things, shame on us. And I say congratulations to you for what you're doing. And this is really something we need to be doing as Catholics, isn't it, to be out there and have this media presence?
Well, certainly that's what the Holy Father, both Benedict XVI and John Paul II before him, have asked us to do. And, I like to think that, especially in a vocation, God never wastes anything that he gives you. And I thought, boy, I'm a good software engineer. I don't know if I'd make a good priest. And that kind of steered me away. And then when I went to seminary, people thought, what a waste. I mean, you're such a successful software engineer. And, I kind of just thought, well, God is going to show me how he wants me to use my gifts. And, as a priest now, I continue to use my computer science quite a bit, if it's anything from just fixing computers around the office. But also, I do see very much the opportunity that is out there today. That, I mean, think what St. Paul would have given, or St. Peter, to have the Internet and the ability to speak not just to 5,000 at once who were converted, but to speak to millions. I think of St. Paul, in those Roman roads that he used to travel, that was the best he had of his day. And people could say, well, it's the Roman roads, it's built by this oppressive empire. Well, St. Paul used those roads, and it's through those roads that the gospel got spread in the early days. And I like to think the Internet can be like that. There's certainly much evil out there, and it can be a vehicle for that too. But I think we've got to be out there. If there's going to be evil out there, the disciples of Jesus have always gone out and tried to spread the gospel amidst that. So my patron saint is John the Baptist. Sean is the Irish version of John, and I'm Sean the Baptist. And I love his prophetic spirit and crying in the wilderness. And, maybe the Internet can be a bit of a wilderness and a wasteland out there, but I'm willing to be that voice. And it's not my voice. It's the Word. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God that will use this opportunity if we make use of it. So I started the blog because people liked the homilies and wanted copies, and I don't write out my homilies, so I got a little voice recorder, and so my blog right now is a lot of my Sunday homilies that I put up there. And thanks for the plug, Jerry. Appreciate that. I'm sure my hit count will go way up now, and that'll put up pressure on me to keep it going. But I've got the blog, Facebook, Twitter, and I would caution people, you can spend a lot of time and waste a lot of time on the Internet. But I'm hoping that as some people out there may be wasting some time, maybe they'll run across seanthebaptist.org, maybe catch catholicanswers.com, catholic.com, and maybe find some good stuff out there too, because
Amen.
that was big in my life.
All right, Father, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for your yes to God, being a priest, and your time here on the program today. And we will catch up with you again, I promise.
All right, thanks for your yes too, Jerry.
All right, thank you, Father.
God bless.
All right. Our thanks to Sean the Baptist again, Father Sean, for his time here on the program.